is there any way that you're going to punt to Devin Hester this week?
I don't know. We'll see. It just depends on the game plan and where you're at on the field. You know, I mean, I'd love to say I could do what Leckler did and kick it over his head 80 yards, but that's not easy.
We'll be here in Denver, so that.
Right? Yeah. It just depends, I guess, where we are on the field. You know, he's a great returner, but we have a great coverage unit. So, you know, sometimes when you try to go out of bounds, you don't have as good of a hit. And, you know, sometimes if you just hit a good 35-yard, 40-yard fair catch ball, because he'll still fair catch it too, I mean, if you hit it high enough. So, I don't know.
Will you talk to Dustin and if he got to play him yesterday?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him yet, but they punted like 11 or 12 times. I think most of theirs were the plus 50 punts, but I'll talk to him. And I think, you know, sometimes guys will hit the rugby ball in the middle of the field, and a lot of times that, you know, hangs up there and it doesn't go as far, so.
If you're on the plus 50, like you said, is it one of those deals where normally you want to pin them inside the 20, but if you kick it into the end zone, you're not going to feel as bad this week compared to last week?
Maybe, but I mean, I still don't think – it depends on, you know, if you're in the plus 50, I don't think that's the best thing for the team because the gunners that we have, the coverage teams that we have, they're going to be able to get down there, you know, so there's no reason to just kick it in the end zone because then you're only changing the field position like 30 yards max, you know, so I don't think that's a good play. Now, if you're on the other 40 maybe, 60-40 ball, you know, that works. But then you're still risking, you know, he's one of those guys that if he could catch it on the one, he's going to do that. Yeah. So,
have any of your teammates told you about the Chicago game last time Broncos played in Chicago? The punting to Devin Hester a couple different times when the game was seemingly at hand.
I might have heard about it, but I don't know. The thing is that in this league, there's so many guys now that are like great returners, and you just got to be on your game all the time, and sometimes. You know, changing it up too much can, you know, that guy, you know, he's waiting for that. He wants guys to be like, oh, I'm going to kick away from you. And then, you know, so who knows? I don't know. We haven't really got to the Bears yet just because yesterday just ended. So
I think Todd Sauerland went rogue.
Oh, yeah.
I think he went rogue. Yeah, the game was like in hand. And he said that week leading up to it, he's like, I'm not scared of Devin Hester. I'm just going to kick him the ball. And then he just kicked it right down the middle of the field twice for touchdowns in the second half. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So do you hear the Pro Bowl talk and the buzz? I know maybe it's gotten written about a little bit. I think maybe the team sometimes puts that out. Is it something that you're thinking about or a personal goal of yours?
I mean, personal goal, I mean, sure, but, like, ultimately, you know, I mean, it wouldn't matter if, you know, if we didn't win or things like that. So if I just think about helping the team win, then usually that stuff kind of falls into place as far as individual goals. But I just want to give our guys the best chance. And, you know, considering that if your stats are good, then you help your team out, then like, they both help each other, so.
But you wouldn't be mad if people went and voted for you?
If what?
If people went and voted for you.
No, I wouldn't be mad.
Have you gone online and voted for yourself?
No.
Brent, I can't take credit for this. DMAC actually remembered this, but it's the one-year anniversary of Josh getting fired today. Can you just talk about the change from a year to now and the turnaround from last December to this December?
I mean, it's just a totally different atmosphere. You know, Coach Fox is awesome. Makes it really fun to be here and be a part of what we got going, and just this whole year the way it's gone, and it's just you know, a lot of fun, and everybody wants to be at work. And I think it was different, you know, last year sometimes, especially losing, you know, even this year when we're losing, it's still, you know, fun atmosphere to be at. So I don't know, it's just a totally different, it's like night and day, you know.
How does he make it fun?
I mean, he's just, you know, he's in the locker room. He's hanging out in meetings. He's, you know, shooting the bull with the guys. And it's just like, that's just how he is. You guys have met him and talked to him. He's, you know, a player's coach, like what they say. And, you know, the first time I met him, I felt like I'd known him for like 20 years, you know. And that's just how he is with everybody. And so just a fun guy to be around. All the coaches are great, and you know, we got a lot more you know, team bonding this year, and so it's just a like a different atmosphere.
You think he's coach of the year?
Oh, definitely.
How come?
Well, all this, like, that I'm saying, you know, matters to the players, but as far as, you know, coach of the year type of thing, needs to matter to everybody. Well, look what he's, you know, done with our program and what, you know, supposedly we had nothing to offer as far as, you know, positions and talent, and look what he's, you know, he's done with that. So he's definitely coach of the year. I mean, we're in a great position now, and I think we're going to keep getting better. And we're just every week we're doing, you know, things are happening that people doubted. So
what's he like with the speeches and stuff after games on the planes?
I mean, he's awesome. He's just, you know, he's quick-witted, and everything he says is just what it needs to be, and is to the point. And
examples? Yeah. I like examples.
Examples
of his quick-wittedness.
Quick-wittedness. walking out of the tunnel yesterday, somebody had farted, and we're walking down, and this is right before the game starts. He's like, "Man, I guess somebody's nervous," you know, and like everybody starts laughing in the tunnel right before we run out. So, just things like that. I mean, he's just.
You know, we don't write for Rolling Stone, right?
Yeah. I might get in trouble for that one. Yeah, I might get in trouble for that one.
That's great, thank you.
What did he do to keep morale up and keep things light when you guys were 1-3, 1-4 at that time?
You know, I mean, I think it helped that he's been somewhere where it's been low and it's been high. One of the big things he, you know, showed us and would kept pressing was one of the teams that he had, might have been the team that went to the Super Bowl or maybe just short of it, started out with like 4 or 5 losses. And then won like 11 straight or 7 or 8 straight, and then lost one of the ones at the end to not make it or something. And so he just showed that it could be done. And it was a group of guys that, you know, was expected to do nothing and things like that. So I think that, you know, gives a lot of confidence to people. And you just knowing that it's been done and can be done.
Was he talking about that? Like bringing that up? Hey, guys, I've been here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, multiple times, you know, and. I think that just, like I said, that helps guys to believe, because it's easy to get in that from last year and stuff where the Broncos have been. It's easy to get in that losing atmosphere, and you just feel like, how can I get out of this? And this is the norm, and you know, you forget the feeling of winning, and you're used to, if we are winning, it's like, well, might end up bad at the end, you know. So, and that's kind of changing around. Well, it definitely has.
How big is Tebow part of that?
Oh, he's huge, because, I mean, he believes at all times, and people can feel that. It's not one of those things that's like, well, we know he believes, but, you know, like he gets everybody else to believe, and he's not going to give up. And so people don't want to be like, well, I don't want to be seen at the end of this game that he was still trying and I was not, you know. And I think that definitely, you know, transcends to the defense and the special teams.
Hey, if you have a veteran player who's here but doesn't share that same attitude, can that suck some of the energy away?
Yeah, I think it definitely can. But, you know, we don't have any of those guys. And I think Coach Fox, that was a big, you know, goal of his, is to not have that. And if we did, I mean, the guys have changed. If they were like that, I mean, everybody's in, and, you know, people are on board, and
Tebow about it, but you said night and day, and then talking to some of the players over months last year, you know, they just said how miserable things were last December. Could you have imagined this kind of a turnaround a year later? I mean, given what the sense was in this building, even John Elway, when he came in, said this place is deflated,
mm-hmm.
You know.
No, I mean, it's hard to imagine it just because of where you were, and you didn't know what it would take to get out of it. You know, but, you know, a whole new, you know, new coach and new, you know, thought process changes that, and just a new outlook on what you're doing and what your job is, and getting players back to realizing, like, I play football for a living and this is fun and that's how it's supposed to be.
What's the story with the mustache? Saw something different on Friday, then saw Matt's got something going on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of us did No Shave November.
No Shave November.
So, we, you know, wanted to do something else, and It was pretty fitting going into, you know, Viking territory to, you know, do something. And I don't know, I had this going, and Willis said I looked like the butcher off of Gangs of New York.
Right.
And I guess it was right, you know, Deckard did some, Adam Weber, Prater. And then my wife is pretty tired of it, so. And I was like, well, we won, you know, and she's like, well, can you at least take this part off? And so I just took that off, and I don't know, we'll see what happens.
Can you clear up the rumor that there's a rumor going around that someone purchased Grecian formula wanting to turn it gray, not realizing that it actually takes gray off. Oh.
Yeah, Prater still thinks that touch of gray means it adds a touch of gray. And I'm trying to tell him that no one wants gray, no offense. But it takes the gray and adds color. And he's like, let's get touch of gray. We need to get a little gray in here.
So how did that experiment go?
Well, it didn't. I mean, he got, if you guys seen his picture, he got jet black. And his hair's blonde. So,
what does he think Weight Watchers mean?
I don't know. Like,
can we get him in?
Yeah, seriously, get him in here.
Sorry, back to Tebow for a second. You ever heard him swear?
I mean, not really. I try to have a clean mouth too.
He doesn't ever swear.
I mean, not really, no.
How does he fit in the weight room? I mean, is he one of the bigger lifters?
We didn't have a big off-season program this year, so it's hard, like, people weren't together. But, I mean, he definitely works hard. And, you know, you've probably seen things from back in Florida. I mean, he's doing all the stuff that everybody does. So he's a big worker. Everything he does is consistent everywhere. So.
Any idea what he's benching back there?
I'd say he's probably up in the mid to upper threes.
What are you benching these days?
Oh, I mean, my max is like 305.
Hey. Man, he's that against Devin Hester on Sunday.
Yeah.
He gets his hand up.
Yeah, he might not do that.
Britton, what's it like in the locker room? Not just for you, but, I mean, no off season. You guys start 1-4. Is there a bit of surprise? You guys are atop the division right now, you think?
I guess I don't think surprise is the word. I think that surprise would be the word for people outside. It was everybody in the locker room knew it could be done. So I guess in a way it's like, you know, I don't know. I just don't want to say surprise. It's knew it could be done and didn't necessarily know it was going to be done. But everybody believed that it could be. So it's not really a surprise and everybody's excited. And it's not one of those things where you're crossing your fingers going, let's please win that next one. Everybody knows that we can and we feel like we should. So, and, you know, one of the things with the Vikings is, you know, I feel like that a lot of the game, I mean, we beat ourselves up and we still pulled out, you know, a victory there. So I think that it could easily keep rolling. I mean, a lot of tough competition still to come. But, I mean, I think we could beat anybody if we just play like we can.
Not that this is how you want to approach things, but statistically, I think that on the game yesterday, you guys were more of three and outs than any team. But McCoy was up here the other day talking about, like, we don't mind the three and outs because we know we've got somebody like you to swing field position the other way and we're not going to make the mistake. It must mean something to you that they have the trust in you to, like, you know, hey, three and out, no big deal. We're going to let you swing the field.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's even in the game yesterday and some of the games where it's like, you know, third and two or second and two and we get one, and on third and two they're running, you know, a running play that has less a chance than maybe a passing play of getting it. I feel that, and I know that they're, you know, they have confidence in me, so that's good. But it's just, you know, our coverage unit, our special teams in general has been really consistent this year, and so it is nice to know that, you know, you're not one of those teams that has to go for it on fourth down when you're backed up, like some of the teams in the league. But they just understand that our defense, the way they've been playing, if I give us good field position, then our defense is gonna stand ground. So
I'm sure it takes skill to put a ball consistently from the 10 to the goal line. But once it lands, is there any skill whatsoever, or is it just absolute luck?
I don't want to give away the secret.
Oh.
But A lot of times there's not. When that ball's in the air, I'm just hoping that it's not going to bounce forward, which like the other day, it bounced forward.
Right.
Matt Willis was there, you know, on the goal line to get it. And, you know, that's all him there because it's hard to judge that ball coming down. You're worrying about a returner. Sometimes that returner's calling fair catch. Sometimes he's allowed to go block those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they're looking for the ball, he could just, you know, take their heads off. So those are the things that you just hope that it bounced backwards. You know, in the Kansas City game, a few of them did. Other games, they haven't. You know, they'll bounce right in the end zone. And
Cluey's was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And it it actually looked like, you know, Quan made a good play by letting it go because when that ball was in the air, I said in my head, I'm like, that's a touchback. But then it just turned back. So it's kind of one of those, you know, luck of the draw. You try to put your little, whatever the golf game is, put the spin on it. But you just kind of hope that it works out and your gunners are going to be down there, which they have been for us. So.